You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hey babes, it's episode 82 of Please Advise. I'm Molly McAleer, aka Malls. If you guys are new here, what we do is you call 323-450-7408. You leave questions about your life, and then I invite on one of my crazy friends, crazy, Hollywood, out of control, cocaine, sex, drugs, money.
Disturbed.
Oh, by the way, also, Christina Lopez, one of my best friends in the whole world, also producer of this podcast.
Yes.
We started out, we started
from the bottom, now we're here.
Farm at the Grove and conceived this idea for a podcast. And I was like, you know what, Christina, let's just put our intentions into it. I don't care if we like good intentions. Like, this just needs to be about like positive output, something we want to do. If we never make money from it, big deal. And now I'm like, where's my fucking sponsor, dude? Like, where's my Casper mattress money? Where's my Nature Box?
I want that Squarespace. Camera use.
Yeah, that Square. I mean, honey, that's really top of the heap.
I know, but I want it.
Squarespace. Aim high, babe. Stamps.com also.
MailChimp.
You gotta be, oh yeah, no. MailChimp is, no. I mean, we're not getting MailChimp. I'm just going to tell you right now. MailChimp wants nothing to do with us.
No,
but I think I speak for everyone at MailChimp, at per usual, when I say. No. So you guys, I want to talk really quickly about, I've been so political lately on this pod, but one thing I want to talk about really quickly is the Ted Cruz lip thing. Did you guys watch the Republican debates last week?
I was working, but I saw a Gawker article about it.
I can't deal with new Gawker, by the way. I don't even go anymore.
I know.
What a mistake. Like,
I know.
What a miserable mistake. They switched Gawker over from a website about all sorts of things to just politics. This is our guest, Craig McNeil, by the way.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Hi, welcome. I just decided to introduce you because I saw you nodding emphatically. I don't know. Are you a Gawker reader?
I haven't read it since they switched over.
Yeah, I used to work at Gawker back in the day. Right. Like, I am a diehard through the good times and bad. And honey, there's been bad times. But like, I think this was a huge error. And now I'm on Jezebel all day long. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I really don't care about this election. But I do care that Ted Cruz had something that I wouldn't wish upon my worst enemy happen. Like, it was such secondhand embarrassment for a man I know nothing about except that he's supposedly very hateful and like somehow even worse than Trump. He had this like white particle. Mm. Ed thought it was a tonsil stone. I've heard my masseuse.
I was for sure that it was a booger, but
you okay? Christina thinks it's a booger. My masseuse, Sean Bartholomew, thought it might be a piece of a Tic Tac or an Altoid.
I feel like it was something from the throat, some phlegm.
Phlegm.
It's definitely phlegm, and he's so gross that it just had to manifest
itself
on the outside of him.
That's like when you're thinking about someone that really repulses you, and you're thinking about why you wouldn't kiss them, and like it's because you think like maybe their mouth has like mayonnaise in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
There's a goo. There's some kind of unsavory
goo. I've never had that thought.
When I'm like,
ew,
I don't
want to
kiss you. I feel like your mouth is like chock full of mayonnaise. Like that is like literally my go-to thought.
You're very in line with Schwartz then.
I just realized, by the way, Tom Schwartz was on Pumped Podcast, which is what you do. You know our friend Laura Shane Halls.
Exactly.
Your partner, Blythe, which by the way, I was getting kind of angry at myself yesterday because I was like, I hate it when straight people, I heard someone call her boyfriend, her partner. And I was like,
do you remember Tom
not-
Hanks accepting the Academy Award for Philadelphia when he said, I'd like to thank my lover?
Oh, no, I don't.
Rita Wilson,
but that's
right?
Very upsetting. That's
wait, what's wrong with a straight person saying
that? Honestly, there's nothing wrong with it because I was just like, oh, like that is like, so that is like, just call him what he is. He's your boyfriend. He lives in your house.
Well, you know what happens.
But then I was like, Molly, that is so like heteronormative and judgmental.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, but I was like, but at the same time, I was like, oh, it is not your partner, bitch. Like he's your fucking live-in boyfriend, your shack up honey, as Dr. Laura would call him.
I just want to say I disagree, but I understand where you're coming from.
Do you know
from.
What I'm saying? Like I, yeah, at sometimes I don't agree these with progressive it. Thoughts, I don't agree with myself either. I like actively was fighting. I was actively fighting a devil inside of my soul saying like, that is not the correct thought. Reactivate. Retrain.
There has to be a word for like where you have conservative thoughts as a liberal and you fight it.
Yeah. Sure. No, yeah. Like I worry about my money all the time. They're yeah. my taxes, but then I'm like, only assholes do that. So chill the fuck out. But like, of course, we all have a little bit of like greed built into us, which grosses me out because I really don't. I try to think I don't have a greedy bone in my body.
Oh,
but
right.
when I, at the end of the day, when it's like this tax bill comes, I'm like, why don't you go get like some fucking jobs, you guys? Like,
you're like, look at all my money going to other people.
Go get a
don't
fucking
do a
job.
Goddamn thing. This, that's what goes
sorry
through your mind.
Sorry, you
taxes.
Have cancer and can't pay for it, but like, honey, I work really hard to pay for my eventual cancer.
You want
to
pay for your cancer?
Out of pocket.
I'm saving up to pay for my cancer right now.
Honestly, isn't that what we're all kind of doing?
Go to payforyourcancer.com if you want more information or to make a donation.
So, Craig. I needed to have you on because we're in the thick of this season's Vanderpump Rulesiness.
It's quite a season.
And I listen to Pump Podcast every week.
Thank you very
and
much.
You and Blythe are such a delightful sorbet, like a palate cleanser between Laura and her guest, who I usually know as well. And you have the funniest things that you cling on to that are my favorite parts of the show.
Oh, yeah, what are
my
some
hair
of them?
Is crazy. Yeah. My hair is crazy. My sex is crazy.
It's the greatest. My hair is
Why
crazy.
Don't people talk about that enough?
It's one of the greatest catch lines from the entire series or of any show, really.
Okay.
Because also you can extend it because clearly when they were together, it's they could say anything. They're like, my brunch was crazy. Shopping was crazy. You know, afternoon at the hairdresser's was crazy.
So can you explain the context for people who might not know?
Oh, of course. Well,
AKA me.
Yeah, Christina doesn't watch Pump.
So there is a sort of junior staff member named James Kennedy, who's a DJ, who's sort of on the up. And his mom got him the job at the restaurant. Now, the restaurant, of course, being Sir. So do you? At what level of Vanderpump Rules knowledge or interest are you at?
Like, I know who Lisa Vanderpump is.
Okay.
You've met Tom and Katie.
Yeah, I've met Ariana.
You've been exposed to a lot of the jargon, if you will.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
It's like someone who hasn't seen Star Wars kind of knows what Star Wars is.
No, and also it's equally
that's
difficult
exactly
to
right.
sort of be like, no, you don't understand because they're the dark side. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of similarities. So... James dated one of the cast members and to basically get on the show. And now
Ariana's
he's a full time.
Now boyfriend's ex girlfriend.
Yes. Okay. Kristen.
Oh, yeah. The drama.
The crazy Kristen.
My mom
yeah.
watches Pumped and she's like, that Kristen.
Yeah. Moms love Kristen.
No, she's suspicious
her.
Of her.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, like, moms have a special thing for Kristen.
My mom hates Kristen.
Oh, yeah, my mom,
hates
too.
Her.
No, loathes her so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So continue.
So, so James.
They dated.
So, yeah, James and Kristen dated. And then they were so into telling people how much that they were in love and how hot their relationship was. So they were talking about something. And then he said, look, that's just how it is. Like, my hair's crazy. My sex crazy. No, our sex is crazy. Actually, that's what it was. Our sex is crazy. So, and that was, you know, and then also Kristen around that time was talking about how sizable his penis was, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh my God. When she called it a sad dick, that is, oh no, she's like, you're sorry, dick. They were in therapy. She's like, get out of here with your sorry dick. I was like, that is so Like, that is so, it's like, it's.
That's rough.
It's beyond brutal because the implications are like so deep and dark and they go everywhere and nowhere. Like, it's like, oh, his dick doesn't work, that we know.
But or it doesn't work and it's small, or it doesn't work and it's misshapen. Like, there's a lot of.
I feel like he's gotten a lot of whiskey dick info out there, though. Lala referenced whiskey dick.
But no. Remember, he said she couldn't get him hard.
Oh, that's right.
Because, yeah,
that's
he's
right.
very Lala pro-women and he's not misogynist at all. No.
If I looked at one of, like, Lala's hoops on the sidewalk, if it fell out of her ear and I walked by it 2 hours later, I would get an erection. So I don't know what James is talking about. But I wanted to make a confession to you today. This is, so Stassi Schroeder, Nastassia, if you will.
I am familiar with her work.
She's avoiding me.
Really?
And, okay, so this is what happened. She follows me on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Because I, like, start tweeting at her.
Yeah.
Rapid fire, like crazy. And like, I had tweeted some sort of like, when I first started listening to her podcast, I didn't realize what she was trying to do. Like, this, she's like, I'm politically incorrect. So she was saying stuff like, why would they have World Water Day? And I was like, because water is like, we're in a crisis as in like a whole world.
Yeah.
And so I like tweeted at her, like, tweeted something like sassy at her. And then I was like, Molly, why the fuck are you tweeting shade at Stassi like during daytime hours? Like, you're not even drunk. This is like you full blown just like pulling over your Mini Cooper on the freeway to inform Stassi that water is a problem.
Yeah. This is the LA darkness. So this is what they tell you about. They warn you about when you move here.
They don't tell you. So I starts off like that. And then I tweeted something like positive at her one day because she really did make me laugh or something. Yeah. And then then she followed me. Okay. Then I DM'd her and I sent her like a fangirl DM that was like, Stassi, like, I can't believe it. Blah, blah, blah. I worship you. Okay. Nothing. She writes back, nothing. Uh-huh. Continue listening to the podcast. I take a back seat. I'm like, you know what? This bitch is trying to prove to me she's someone. I know what she's doing right now. She's trying to say, like, I'm above you. Fact is, Nastassia, you're not above me. But you might be because So then I go to New Orleans, birthplace of Nastassia Schroeder.
Right. That's how it's legendarily known.
And her... yeah, that's what Mardi Gras is, basically.
This, yeah, it's Dr. John, too.
It's her
too,
fucking
sure,
birthday.
But that's, yeah.
So I'm like, all weekend long, I'm like, you guys, we gotta go to Rubber Republic. I don't know if you know what that is.
What was it, Rubber Republic?
Raw Republic.
Oh, okay.
That's Stassi's best friend's juice shop.
Oh,
back
I got
home,
you. Okay. I really wish there was Rubber Republic.
I do too. So, yeah. I'm sure there is one. So then, you know, it's on Magazine Street. We were on Magazine Street
the whole time.
I was planning on going. I never made it. But I tweeted at her, like, going to Raw Dog Republic, like, LOL. And then nothing. Okay. So then the other night, I'm in a way, and I'm like, I've had enough of being fucking ignored by Stassi Schroeder.
Yeah.
I've had enough of it. Like, she's not above me. Like, I don't know who the fuck she thinks she is. I've been at this for 10 years. So I'm like, I'm all in my head. I'm like, I wrote her on a fucking hit show. She's some fucking reality TV bitch. So I went on her mom's Etsy page, and I bought an $87 necklace.
Yeah, okay, her mom has an Etsy page. This I did not know, okay? I did not know that. So there's a lot of new information and revelations coming at me like a tidal wave. I just want to let you know
So her mom
that.
Has a website, an Etsy site where she sells statement necklaces.
Oh, wait, so they both?
Right.
Oh, my God, it's a family thing.
So, and then, so Stassi's modeling a lot of the statement necklaces, obviously. And there's statement necklaces that are made to look like the ones she wore on the show.
Okay.
Some of them are the ones she wore on the show.
Ooh.
But then, so the one that I bought, exactly. So then the one that I bought was the one that Kristen is wearing in her
Talking Heads moments this season?
Yeah, with the silver chain,
yes.
With the blue stones, and it's like two chains, except I bought the gold-plated version because gold's really more my color.
Sure, sure.
But
you got to have your own personal touch to it.
It's honestly probably the most mentally ill thing I've ever done. I like immediately because I was like, I have to be self-aware about this. I have to be self-aware about this. I like started texting everyone in my phone book. I was like, I bought a necklace from Stassi's mom Etsy for like $87. LOL.
Wait, you know, like, you have to wear it to the live episode of Pumped then.
I mean, if it comes, I mean,
oh,
I
it's
think,
still in transit. I see.
I think
okay.
Dana
okay.
Schroeder might be up in Lake Arrowhead piecing together my jewels. I don't know what's going
Could be.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember when Jack said to on the season two, like third episode, when they all went to Lake Arrowhead? And Jack said to Lisa, like, I have to go. I have to go apologize to Dana.
Oh,
and
that's Lisa's right.
Like, who's Dana?
Those are my favorite moments. It's disdainful. Who's Dana? Actually, my other favorite thing this season is when they have the homeless dinner. So they. So for those of you who haven't watched the show, there's a scene where Lisa loves to do charity, right? That's her thing. She's very charitable. And one episode is all about having this group of homeless kids. Or some of them aren't really kids. So I'd say homeless people come to the restaurant because the conceit is that, well, you realize these people have not had dinner at a fine restaurant
They've
before.
Never eaten in a restaurant
Yeah, that's right. Even in a restaurant. So, yeah. I mean, that would cover a lot of ground. McDonald's to Red Lobster or Pump. And
right.
Some of them equate. Some people do equate those to the same place. But so they're there. And then Ken is handing out desserts. And he goes, there's a flan. And it's like my favorite thing that I've ever heard on the show. I had to rewind it 3 or 4 times.
Like, why aren't the homeless kids taking this flan?
Or just he was very excited about the flan. I mean, he really wanted to get in there and share the flan. And it was just
I
the greatest.
Love that
there's
they're
a
giving
flan.
Him flan.
Yeah.
How was she saying it?
No, it was Ken. It was her husband.
Oh,
and,
my
who
gosh.
Is one of my favorite people on television.
He's so great.
When he's drunk and angry, it's the greatest thing ever. When he's fighting on Housewives with Yolanda at that big party, because Ken has had it. That's after the whole trip
right.
where the Us Magazine or whatever right. like, scandal happened. They smoke on camera, which is like a big
yeah.
move for them. And then Ken is just hammered. And
right.
just had no time for Yolanda. You're not that smart and all that.
Do you think they smoke a lot?
I don't know. I think so. I think they're semi-secret smokers. I think
okay.
that they try to never be on camera smoking. But
yeah.
I think that they do. And apparently, from my recollection, they smoke Marlboro Lights.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do. Like Kate Moss and me. but so I was...
That's your next book, right?
Like Kate Moss and me. but Ken has had kind of like a saltiness toward like to him this year. Like he was really kind of like when he's like, Yolanda doesn't look good. Like
oh.
and he just like flat out said that, and I was like, dude, that's like.
But at least they were
vicious.
All saying things about her. But at least he was saying like she looks ill, she doesn't look good,
right?
And they were all kind of bullshitting each other. Oh no, I think she's fine, right? And also he tried to be gallant in that moment where he said he said some compliment to her or something, and he said a woman really appreciates that when a man says that. To, you know, he basically said, I lied about her appearance
right,
to her
right,
face
right.
to make her feel better.
Which, like, I thought was like, I'm like, that is like a new level of Ken. Like, this is a new layer peeled back because he's always kind of been almost like the Bobby Zarin of Beverly Hills. Where he's just kind of like the doting husband, takes a back seat.
Cuddles the dog. He's always taking care of things.
Worships his queen.
Right.
And like, you know, you can tell he is an amazing husband.
Yeah.
An amazing father.
And
like,
amazing businessman.
You want to be in Ken Todd's.
Orbit.
Like world.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
want to
be under his cover. But like
when we went to
very afraid of being on the other side
oh,
of that.
No, he would never want that.
Oh,
it's
no.
And you see it so clearly. Like he looks like a kind of guy who might have stabbed someone at one time, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And also he doesn't no one can make him move fast. He goes at a certain speed. He never is rushed. Although someone tweeted at me today and said that they saw Ken Todd running to Pump and there was fire engines circling the place or
oh,
something.
Oh really?
Yeah, I don't know what that
so he's being
is.
Like an active manager.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, yeah, they do really work.
Well, he was
they
there at Pump
really
when, so we celebrated my birthday recently with 2 weekends of.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank
back
you.
Back to back.
Oh, yeah. 2 weekends back to back.
Your 40th birthday.
Yes, my 40th
Straight
birthday.
Man,
that's right.
All the Vanderpump bars. That's what I love about you.
Thank you very
like,
much.
Like, honestly, that is kind of a dream man thing. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, a guy even entertaining Vanderpump rules on the, like, on a bare level. Might convince me to marry him. Like throw in he has like a dishwasher and I'm there. Like
yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
No, I appreciate that. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, great.
So so he was there on the second time that we were there, and it was about 11:30. That's our reservation was at 11:30, and it was a classic sort of Vanderpump restaurant story this time because
yeah.
the weekend before everything was great. The seafood roll was a little sparse on the seafood, but other than that, everything was really tasty and great.
Right.
This time, I forgot that they taped the reunion for Vanderpump Rules the day before. So they taped that on the 19th, our second round of celebrations, because my birthday is Valentine's Day. So the second round of celebrations was the 20th. And we get there. They hadn't even opened the gate yet.
Yeah.
So our friend Rashid like beckoned to the guy, and the guy goes, "Oh yeah, you can come in." And he just pointed to the gate. So Rashida had to lean over and like, you know,
undo the gate. Yeah,
undo the gate. So we get in, and everyone's sort of stumbling around in a haze. And we find out, of course, they taped the reunion, and then there was a party at Pump for the cast and you know all the friends at the right. Pump. So our waiter, Dylan Horley, terrific waiter, hungover as hell, but very helpful and very on it. And then Ken was there, walked over, and he was having a beer. And I don't know why we didn't go and ask him for a photo.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
I was like, oh, he approached your table? Are you guys, like, famous no,
I
there
I
kind of
wanted that.
I know.
See, and, yeah, and Jason was with us. And I was like, well, he loves Jason.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
So, but we didn't. And then we sort of got, like, carried away in the rest of the day. But we sat in the garden that day.
That is dreamy.
It was really wonderful.
That's really fun.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, I have to say, I only had a couple drinks experiences at Sir.
Mm-hmm.
I had a birthday lunch at Villa Blanca that was like terrible kind of. Uh-huh. But like it was just fun to be with my friends and get day drunk. Like I had like 3 glasses of pink wine and I was happy.
That's all you really want.
Yeah, that's all you really want. Yeah. And so I had like pink champagne. I think.
Oh,
and
that's
I was
even
like,
cooler.
Killing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, and I dressed like Lisa. I wore a businesswoman outfit. So I was very like Lisa ready.
By the way, we've dubbed her Pink Bucket Hat, her business hat.
Oh, yes. So, you're so right. It's also her
Cornelia came
cap.
Up with that. And I was like, yes, it is. That is her business hat. Absolutely. She means business when she's
no,
wearing that.
She's like, I'm not fucking around. Like, I'm not getting sun damage, but I'm also not fucking around.
One quick thing though, when you do have a shitty meal at one of the restaurants, it's almost better in a way.
Right.
It's you love it. I got so the first weekend they brought a cake. Blythe and Rashid planned a cake and they delivered it early in the morning. This whole thing, which was really touching. And then the second time, what's that?
When roommate Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Hey, Nick. Our discussion has driven Nick
Nick's
out of the apartment.
Coming and going with the bag. I think I'm starting to think he's got bodies in those things.
Or pills.
Right.
So either way,
he's just trying to get swole, you guys.
I know he is.
Again, so it's either bodies or pills. So how close do we want to get? Is it the Ken thing? You want to stay away?
Right.
That didn't really land. But anyway. Look, you know, you try things.
No, yeah, so, experimenting.
Right, exactly. So we got the molten lava cake the second time, or I did. Because all I really wanted, I actually should have said, listen, just bring me a saucer of milk and that sparkler thing. I want the sparkler because we're going to take photos with the sparkler and that's all I want and it's exciting still. But he brought out this cake and it was the saddest little, like, it was dry. I've never had a worse dessert, but it was the funniest thing ever. And I had to pass it around.
Restaurant desserts are usually pretty bad, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because a lot of them just like unfreeze, they defrost things.
Which is gross.
I'm okay with like if it's a chocolate cake situation.
Sure.
I hate
like
chocolate cake.
A skillet cookie.
I know, a skillet cookie.
What do you hate about chocolate cake?
I don't like cake, and it's like it's a waste of calories for me. I get nothing from it. It's like too rich.
Yeah.
It's too much. Like I like a gluten-free chocolate chip. I like a creme brulee. I even like a flan. Oh, creme brulee is incredible.
You like pie.
A flan. We have a flan.
I like certain pies.
What pies do you like?
Key lime.
Mm-hmm.
Blueberry.
Yeah.
Pumpkin. Mm. That's about it.
Sure. So you like custardy kind of things?
Yes. Yeah. I guess that's something you could say about me.
No, just like based on the types of pies that you like and the creme brulee and the flan.
Writer, show that's host, something. Custardy.
You guys, I want you to know that about me. I like custardy type things. I'm ready to come out here today as a person ready to embrace that she likes a custard-like consistency in her desserts.
I've here's danced the thing. Around it for years like, now.
I like cakey things. I like brownies. I like pastries. Yeah. I like that kind of stuff. So,
I like a
donut.
But
I'm not into like a...
And what kind of donut? Like filled with something or
glazed
frosted?
Glazed only.
Glazed only. Okay.
What about like... GTFO. I like
how is that, how is that not like wasted calories in the same vein as
because cake? It's less dense, it's fluffier. I'll even eat a fucking old fashioned donut because it doesn't have the chocolate.
You mean a Dunkin' Donuts old fashioned donut?
It's the cacao factor of the chocolate that's so like nutrient rich. Honestly, it like freaks my mouth out. Like, and then there's some frosting involved. Like, I don't like it. It does nothing for me. I can't explain why I don't like it. I like it more than mayonnaise, but less than most things.
If it was a toss-up, you'd have to go with the cake, but not happily.
Yeah. Oh my God, if I had to eat a slice of cake over like a jar of mayonnaise, 100%. There's a new Atwater Dunkin' Donuts, by the way.
Oh, really?
About that?
No, wait, actually, I heard something about it, but I didn't know where. I just heard that there was
a new Atwater Village. It's between you. Where do you live?
West Hollywood.
Oh, so you're actually like closer to the Santa Monica one.
Oh, and also I work, I'm the executive producer of Mel Radio for the new publication Mel, funded by, well, no, never mind.
What's Mel?
Mel is a company that was started by Dollar Shave Club owner Michael Dubin Josh Schollmeyer, who used to be the editor of Playboy and co-wrote Hef's autobiography.
Love that.
Yeah, and it's out in Venice. And so actually via Pumped and Laura, they heard Pumped and wanted to hire me for podcast stuff. So now I run the podcast.
I can't tell if that Dollar Shave Club guy is really good in bed or not. And I can't. I can't also tell if I want to marry him or if like I never want to meet him. I can't tell what it is. It's one of those.
I got
it's
you.
Like,
yeah.
You're too much. I think I could love you, but like also I feel like you could break my heart and destroy me in a new way, Dollar Shave Club guy.
Well, isn't that must be part of his
allure?
Well, the commercial charisma, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you want someone to know more, but you, again.
Those performers, you got to be careful. Right. I have a no dating performers rule now.
Yeah, right. Sad because I could see the two of you together.
You could see that heat, right? It's white hot.
Blinding. All right.
So, Craig, did you bring 3 reasons why you're qualified to give advice today?
Yeah, sure. And I don't know how hilarious they are, but
they don't have to be hilarious.
Well, you know what? I'm a really keen observer of people and behavior. I don't want to say I'm well thought out. That's like a bad number two. That's a filler. That's like, I care. I care. And I'm usually right.
That's good. I actually agree with all 3 of those things.
Terrific.
That's why I've noticed that you're really good at observing people.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
You have astute observations, I think.
Oh,
and you put them well. So I'm going to ask you 3 questions back.
Okay.
All right. 1, what was your favorite city you ever visited and why?
I have to say Los Angeles, because before living here, we visited and stayed with Jason, and I was immediately in love with it.
Your friend.
Yeah.
Just for people at home who don't know. He has a friend named Jason.
Yeah, I have a friend named Jason. I did reference him before, and I figure you know, your very sharp listeners would be like on it already. They're like, oh, he said that already.
Jason.
Yeah,
unless
it was cut out.
Well, now that we've mentioned him twice, I wanted to establish...
you're right. Yeah,
I think
it's free
twice
and easy.
Jason rule.
Twice Jason. Remember, once, twice, 3 times Jason. So anyway, we stayed with our friend Jason, and L.A. was everything I thought it would be, and I was in love. We were in love with it. So we moved from Massachusetts 3 months later. So I always think, and also then we were, as I stammer through this sentence, then we went to New Orleans for Christmas time, and that's the first time I've ever been on a trip somewhere, and the last day or last 2 days gone, I really can't wait to get home, which is never something I've felt before living in Massachusetts. You know, you're just like, oh, I don't really want to go home much, right?
Right.
So, and what, you're from what town again?
Lexington.
Right, exactly. We were almost neighbors, basically. Yeah. So,
and I went to Boston College and had a house in Marshfield, Duxbury, but I love that. I mean, I love Massachusetts, but you're right.
Yeah, but you never on a trip, right? When you went somewhere, you were never like pining to get like, back.
No.
Right, exactly.
And I do miss you do miss LA. I think the same way people miss New York, they're like, I have to get fucking back to the city, man.
Exactly. And I think that there's very specific.
Except me.
Oh, really? Now, where are you from?
I'm from New York City.
Oh, so do you love New York or do you?
I love New York. It's my hometown.
But do you want to go back there? Because
she loves it from afar.
Yeah.
That's a healthy way to love New York, by the way. I've noticed. No, it is.
It's a great city. It just makes me a terrible person. I can't be there.
Yeah, I think it happens to a lot of... I mean, it has that effect on a lot of people. And I also think... I was thinking about this the other day. It's not exactly a new thought, but there's definitely like New York and LA people, because some people hate being out here from New York.
I don't really like it.
Oh, you don't?
So I've never liked it.
Oh, really? Okay. Where would you like to
live? Austin, Texas. I'm actually shocked I bought a house here. Like, I'm shocked by it. I really am. I surprised my damn self. Like, I was like, well, I guess I fucking live here now. And I've thought about getting a house in Austin, too, eventually, because First of all, they're cheap. Secondly, it's a really good area of the country to invest in right now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Third, it's just like that would be a great place to have a split life. And also, I could rent that out and make some cash.
And also, anyway, you could just do that thing. Hey, who's going to South by Southwest this year with me? Come on, my house, which is everyone's dream.
Exactly, right?
Hosting people at South by Southwest.
Guys, South by, right? Who's coming in?
Just so you can say it all the time, right?
No, I'm like, friends, I love you, but it's going to be $1,500 a night.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, that would be the ultimate version of hell, being like, great, you guys are driving in a school bus from Massachusetts here with your shitty band that I probably hate. Can't wait to have you crash at my place.
This is the best part, is that you think of South by Southwest as a music thing, and I think of it as a tech event.
Oh, you know what? But I'd rather go to the tech event, quite honestly. I mean, because so many people from Massachusetts who had fucking terrible bands would like put up a GoFundMe or something to get them over, which, you know, they're sort of missing the whole business principle of entertainment where it's, you know, you have to get people to pay for you.
Right.
Or else you're really not doing it correctly. So, you know, keep woodshedding, keep doing whatever you want.
The smart music people were the ones that came out for the interactive week, to be honest, because it's like there are people that are. Can actually hire you for their company event. you know, like come play like the, you know, Bitcoin anniversary party or whatever the fuck it is, you know? Is Bitcoin still a thing? No. Okay.
I hate that I only found out about Silk
Road
after it went away.
Probably stopped converting all my money to it.
Wait, so we're on the three questions now. Did I answer the first one fully?
Yeah, I think place you did
visited.
A good job.
Because I still love L.A. I can't wait for my parents to come visit in May.
When are they? Oh, that's good.
It's
okay,
great.
Good.
Yeah.
And May is going to be nice.
Oh, that's great. Then how often do they visit?
It used to be like once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. They haven't been here in about a year.
I was hoping you'd say like now it's like every third week.
No. Visiting LA is so nice.
Well,
though.
It's a long flight.
It is. It's a great place to, I mean, it's a great place to visit.
When I lived here or lived in Massachusetts, but had been to LA and knew I was moving out to LA. Yeah. Like I honestly felt like I had a long distance boyfriend that like I couldn't wait to be with.
Yeah. Pining
like,
is the thing.
I was just
pining.
I just can't wait to be back there with like the Grove and the sunshine.
Oh my gosh.
And like, I was 21. You know?
What do you hate most about LA?
I just never sunk my teeth into it. There's plenty of things I like about it. I just don't feel like Massachusetts. This leads into my second question.
Sure.
But Massachusetts is such like a fucking like beef stew of a location. Like it's so
thick,
like
hearty.
Hearty and like warm and like. Dependable and like
starchy too.
Can't go wrong. Very starch heavy. like a lot of substance, basically. And like
and you're sleepy like, afterwards.
Yeah. And I feel like LA is kind of like a kale salad where it's like, I mean, I guess this is the right thing for me, but like I'm really fucking dragging my feet here. Like that's like actually kind of hurts my teeth. I feel like they should have massaged it more, like before they put it into the salad. You know, like when you eat kale and you can feel the dirt particles in it.
Sure.
I've never had that experience.
Not actual dirt particles, but like the way I call like Sean Bartholomew and I call like the knots in your back like alien eggs. Like it feels like an alien planted eggs. Like I feel when you eat kale, that's like the internal kale dirt.
Sure.
Do you know
the grit, if you will.
The grit.
So I've been on this weird thing where I love that aspect of LA so much because on the way to work, I try to go on the way to work. I go to the Venice Whole Foods, which is the most Whole Foods I've ever been. Right. And it's amazing watching the people just like cluster around the juice bar. It's absolute fucking mayhem over there.
Whole Foods is insane.
Isn't it insane?
Yeah.
It's so weirdly laid out that you can sort of get lost in an island. It's right before the alcohol and there's like the bulk food section and it's sort of a switcheroo thing.
Shit gets real in that parking lot.
Oh, anytime in the evening, which I've never seen at a supermarket. Usually it's during the day
It's like Apocalypse
like,
Now shit.
Vicious. Crunchy granola, like granola.
Hateful, vicious,
crunchy, like granola eating hippies, like get ready to
they're
throw
fucking
down
hungry,
at each
dude.
Other. They're like, it's
they're hungry.
Insane.
They're hungry. They're like loaded, and they're just they can't
and
wait.
Self-righteous.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's my favorite thing to see about Venice. It's so weird. But I love that they have all these different kinds of kale, and sort of you can get down. You can go down a dark tunnel with kale because eventually it's like dino kale and the stuff that's like you feel like you're like oh this is like
dino
soggy
kale's
cardboard.
My jam.
Is it? Yeah, I love
I
it too.
I feel weird about eating baby kale.
Yeah, because it's a baby.
I like to like rip the heads off of baby. No,
no problem for me because that happens to be something I really like. But yeah, no, I mean, there are really wonderful things about LA that are unique
though.
To LA.
Yeah.
That it's like after a while, it's weird when it does become comforting to like see, to like have a little bit of a panic attack in a Rite Aid parking lot. Yeah. And like, it's like, well, like that's just part of life. Like yeah. It's fine. I just had to pull over and hyperventilate in this Rite Aid parking lot and cry yeah. a little bit.
Sure.
And now I'm just going to get back onto Fairfax. And exactly. like those were things that I was like, I did a lot when I first moved to LA. Like I couldn't. And now when it happens, I'm like, well, those old familiar feelings,
yeah.
like that, like anxiety of driving to the Target on La Brea in Santa Monica, that yeah. like that Whole Foods, like, none of these lines are short feeling like
yeah, right.
those are very LA things that are eventually begin to feel like home. So I was going to say Massachusetts, number two, Massachusetts, yeah. Paint the most Massachusetts scene you can.
Okay. I'll give you, well, I want to say like a good one and a bad one, but okay. I remember living in Waltham, going to the Dunkin' Donuts that was sort of down the street on Moody Street. So uh-huh. we were adjacent to Moody. And in the morning, it was a really grim mixture of the guys waiting in line at the liquor store for the 8 a.m. opening.
Yeah.
And then the guys who were sort of just milling about, possibly homeless. I don't know.
And Waltham, is that Irish, Italian? Yeah,
I think there's a fair amount of Irish in it.
Yeah.
It's actually very mixed ethnically, I think. There's,
yeah.
Another strange thing about Waltham is it's kind of like Florida in the way that you go a couple streets down. Oh, it's this kind of
right.
nationality. Go over another couple streets down, and it's this. Like, there's even like the yeah. Little Italy in Waltham
yeah.
that has the Italian flag colors running down the middle of the street.
Right, right, right.
So, but a lot of the like workers and everything go at the Dunkin' Donuts. It's a very sort of like blue collar is the wrong way to put it, and it's not money shedding. But there's a sort of backwards redneck aspect to Massachusetts that
sure.
I find to be one of the most galling things about it. So there'll be like. Like if I had to wear a suit to go to something, you sort of like you're an odd man out amongst a bunch of construction guys.
Right.
But then if I'm wearing my Xanadu shirt, that's also equally difficult.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like
right.
my pink Bruce Springsteen sweatshirt is like not would not fly very well in
right.
Waltham. So there's just that sort of sense of not menace, but you're just like, yeah, I'm not like you. You're not like me. We don't want to talk. And the street I lived on was ostensibly a family street.
And it's not that I don't think they get the concept of like a hipster or something. They'd just be like, dude, you're fucking weird. Like,
yeah, exactly.
why are you being like that? Like,
yeah.
it's fucking weird. Like, what does he need attention or something? Like, it'd be like very like, yeah. like that.
No, it's kind very, of. No, it's very much like that. Very much like
first
that.
First time I've ever heard you talk any remotely.
Oh yeah.
Boston-y.
Well, no, it's in my soul, but, I do want to point out that Massachusetts also has the distinction, New England in general, has a distinction of being a place where, like, white people aren't just white people. Like, here in L.A., like, white yeah. people are kind of just, like, white people.
Yeah, sure.
Like, because there's so many.
Yeah.
But in Boston, yeah. it's, like, white ethnics, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, you're fucking Italian. Or, like, you are Irish.
Right.
And, like, you wear it, like, a lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't like that either. That's
no.
another thing. Also, people with, like, Kana rings.
Yeah. Oh, I love a clown. I mean,
yeah.
I love that though. But that's so like you don't understand. I grew up with my.
You want a really
like,
rough fella who also be like, "I'll take you to the pump."
I know. You know deep down. Was that guy gay or something? Like it would be very like it would. But I do. I honestly
your inner conservative would be like in heaven.
My accountant has a thick Boston accent, and I have to say I trust him more because
sure.
I'm like, no one with that accent is robbing me.
Right.
Like
right.
that is a good man.
Right.
Like he went to financial school in Boston, Boston kid, has that accent. Good
no,
person.
No showbiz trappings.
No,
yeah.
no, nothing there. He's not trying to
swindle you.
Yeah.
Kid.
So keep going. Quintessential Massachusetts scene.
See, I mean, I want to say something good about Massachusetts because I feel it's unfair to just always shit on it. I don't even talk about it that much, but the trouble with Massachusetts is, okay, here's another scene of Massachusetts. Nightlife. There is none. We did a night out there and did very well, and we had like this theater that we did it at, but it was owned by Harvard. It's the only reason there was like a club because
right.
it was used as a set for another play.
Right.
There's no real clubs, really. Well, there are, but they're the kind of places where there's fist pumping and it's
right. There's like
dangerous.
Jose McIntyre's on Lansdowne.
Yeah.
There's like
the moon.
Yeah.
yeah.
There's
and
that
Lansdowne.
Stuff.
Oh, sorry,
I mean, but it's also it's a college city.
Right.
So
right. Right.
It's like you got to remember that like the pulse is collegiate.
Sure, but remember college. Markets used to mean more adventurous. So in the 70s
right.
and 80s, if Sire Records wanted to break a band, the first thing that would hit Boston.
Right.
You know, and now there's such a blandness there. There yeah. is no edge. There is no, there's no real art scene. There's no, nightlife is so truncated or, you know, it's so bloodless, I think. There's just so little.
It's just so weird. I think of it as such an artsy city. I mean, I'm coming really? From a completely different side of it where I was more on like the comedy side or even like the literature side with my family
when
and everything.
When did you leave though?
2006. So
that's why.
Yeah.
Since then, I bet there's almost none of that.
Yeah.
That's just my feeling. You're I could right. be wrong. Yeah.
No, you're right. And we used to even always like have be putting on like punk rock shows at the Y and shit like that. Yeah. Like I don't feel like kids do shit like that anymore.
That's what I mean. Like Boston or Massachusetts in general, really, that's what it was. That's I remember as a kid getting an awareness of that. Well, Boston's going to be great when I can move to Boston or whatever from the suburbs. And by the time I got there, like it was the last days of Kenmore Square, which is now a big shopping mall.
Yeah.
But they used to be just filthy clubs and like drugs and like bad area. That was, it was like your uncle would be like, oh, don't go there. That's a bad area.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's the Bertucci's. So
I love Bertucci's. I worked at Bertucci's in high school. Yeah. Bertucci's was kind of the fly spot to work beside the Lexington Flick, which they went to in The Fighter. Do you remember when Amy Adams like, why are you taking me to Richie Rich Lexington?
That's what I was going to say when you were talking about
Flick.
It.
That's the Flick.
I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen The Fighter.
No, you're fine. It's good. It's
I really want to see it also because I was working on a audio documentary about Whitesnakes. The song, I can't remember the name of now. So,
but it was in there.
Hit? It's in The Fighter. Never mind.
We'll remember it. You'll love it. Amy Adams looks like a dish rag. Like they did such a good job of making her look like some Irish Boston like trap queen. Okay, so last question. What's your drink of choice?
My drink of choice is unsweetened black iced tea, and it used to be coffee. I would drink coffee all day long.
Do you drink alcohol?
I don't drink alcohol.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you still go to pump?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
there's something there for you.
There's spiritually, I get satiated.
Right. Yeah.
And they serve the pitchers of booze, right? So I ordered just a pitcher of iced tea. And the guy paused for a second. I said, I need a lot of iced tea. Just bring it and we'll be good. And of course, as it's a classic move there. But iced tea was the last thing they thought of. Like, if it's not alcohol, waiters will always forget. It's a drinking kind of place, right?
They bring you like a pitcher of Long Island iced tea.
That would be funny. That'd be a very different day. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I used to drink coffee all the time. I used to drink, and I haven't drank for now. I can't remember the timeline, which is kind of cool. I like that because I used to know, not in town in counting days or anything, but I would be like, oh, it's been like 2 years, but it just doesn't agree with me.
Yeah.
And it was like enough of the. What's that adage of trying to expect different results from the same behavior?
Right, yeah.
But it was just, it didn't work for me and I would get anxiety hangovers and then like not feel well. And
dude, I feel I heard those anxiety hangovers are the worst. I feel very grateful I don't get those. But
what's your version of a hangover? Because I noticed that people have different, I used to think that everyone had, that's what they had. Like whatever I was feeling.
Right.
Was, you know, it's a common thing. You always think
I was hungover on Friday and I rarely get hungover anymore, but because I don't drink to the point that I get a hangover, which, and also I now like understand that paying for quality is the big thing. When I was like in my early 20s, like I'd be like, oh, well, get like three bottles of Boone's Farm. Like, really probably should just got one bottle of like $9 wine and like not done that. But
gambled with your.
Yeah. So I could tell that my second drink on Thursday night, when I woke up, I could tell that it had been well vodka because I only drink Tito's because it's gluten free and it also just like feels, it's like the cleanest, it's like the best tasting.
Sure,
And I drink dirty martinis and I usually have two dirty martinis and then like I'm done. But I felt like I woke up and what it always is for me is I feel my lungs feel like vodka.
Right.
And then like a slight headache behind my ears. And a little bit in my temples, and then also just like sensitivity to light.
Okay, sensitivity to light. I definitely would have that. I would have some of that stuff. And the one thing I've never understood is, as depicted in film or television,
right?
The Sensitivity to sound. Have you ever had that with a hangover?
I'm always sensitive to sound.
Well, no, me too.
Yeah.
But I just mean like in films, I'll be like, oh, that noise, that infernal racket.
You know what? Actually, yes. Like there's been times where like Ed's picked me up to go hiking on a Sunday and like I pull in and he has like Beyonce is like, get me bodied like at a full 11. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, that's rude. Like that is mean to like do that to me right now. I wasn't expecting it. It's very like I don't have a choice. I have to get in the vehicle to turn the dial down, and you're not going to do it. But
it's
yeah,
it's too loud outside of the car, and I have to get in there. Yeah.
But like the cartoonish sensitivity to sound is always. I mean, but that's like kind of like also like quicksand in the '80s when I was like, oh, I'm like when I grew up, I'm probably going to get trapped in quicksand.
Like, chances are, based like, on the information
I've
gotten,
going to get amnesia, or I'm going to get trapped in quicksand.
I better not get hit on my head because then I'm going to forget everything.
Yeah, I'm going to forget my life, and yeah, like have to remarry my husband. So yeah,
I thought I was definitely in for a body switching.
Change up. That was like you saw the change up, and that was like your.
Which one's the change up?
That was, I think it's Jason Bateman
and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was thinking about
into a fountain.
Yeah,
they and their bodies changed.
we've got to see that.
The
one.
Weakest
that's on our
conceit
list
of a body switch comedy ever.
That's your Eat, Pray, Love. The change up.
Oh, I was thinking more 18 again with George Burns, right. And Charlie Schlatter. One of the worst films, right. If you can call it a film.
What
ever
was the
seen
one with, like Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron?
Like Father, Like
Son.
Oh,
that movie is very, very good.
And
that's
then
a
the same,
very good
the
movie.
Same year, Vice Versa with Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be tearing down Like Father, Like Son today. Hear him, please advise. All right, let's take our phone calls.
Hey, Malls. I love your recording. My name is Stacy, and I have a problem with a boy. We dated for a smooth 2 weeks. But, and I'm in my 30s, you know, so it should be nothing, but this 2 weeks just felt so magical and real, and we hung out all the time. And we couldn't get enough of each other. And, he, after the 2 weeks, was just like, I can't date you. You take up too much of my time. I feel like it's manic. I feel like we're so good now, but one day we're going to have a bad day. And then I would just feel so horrible. So he decided to preemptively break up with me. Well, that was really devastating, strangely, after 2 weeks. But then what sucked even worse is that was in November, or that was months ago, you know, and now it's three or four months later, and he texts me every day. I've said multiple times, I can't be your friend. I don't want to be your friend. I have feelings for you. And he won't stop. He is so desperate to have me in his life in this little way. And I can't stay away from him, even though I know that's probably what you're going to say. I don't know what to do. Do I tell him one last time, like, stay the fuck away from me forever, but I miss out on his friendship? Or does he secretly love me? I don't know. Help me.
I'm not going to say he's a crazy person, mm-hmm. even though that's what my impulse is to say. Like, it's like, right. Oh, well, he's fucking crazy. Right. So, but I think he's not emotionally mature.
Yeah, no, definitely does not sound like emotionally mature. And also seems to have a lot of weird rules in his head already going into something.
I wonder how much they've been dating. Uh-huh. I wonder how much she's been dating before him. Like, what her dating experience has been. Because right. I think by the time I was in my 30s, or I'm in my 30s now, it like really started to click for me that if someone isn't working for me, they're not going to work for me. Like,
right,
and it's
right.
become really like actually disgusting to me. Like when that guy does that thing that's like so emotionally immature. Yeah. I had a guy that I was dating actually. Oh, you'll like this. This is fun. We'll just go into the old text messages.
Oh, love that.
By the way, why you should not date me unless you want to be humiliated. And don't worry, people won't know who you are, but you'll know who you are. And that's usually the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I wake up. I went out on like 6 dinner dates with this guy. He like didn't really make too many advances. We like kissed, but like probably the way that like I kiss Ed, where it's like a high bye kiss.
Yeah.
It's not like a...
This was after the like third date you would still kiss like that?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we gone out on a like Friday, and then I was like, he called me on a Monday to like say like, hey, what's up? And I was like, I was like, I just answered the phone because like you called and I wanted to make sure you weren't dying or something. Like, I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll call you later. I didn't call him later. I forgot. But I've genuinely, in my defense, been so fucking busy lately that like I don't see anyone in my life. Like the fact that I was making time for this person once a week was kind of monumental.
Sure.
So this is I wake up on Wednesday to this, okay? Or Thursday morning. He sent this on Wednesday, February. Oh, no, I guess it was Wednesday.
Wait, what time was it sent? I always love
1:25 a.m. I don't know why you decided to try and ghost me, but I'm with you and there not being a romantic connection. I think you're a cool person and we can still be friends. I don't come across people hardly ever I feel that way about. I get you're going through some heavy shit. I've been there. You need some male friends that aren't gays. I'm here if you want that. XO.
Then, wow, so helpful.
So then I wake up at like 9:01 and at 8:53 in the morning he had sent this.
Oh.
BTW, that was meant to come off lighthearted and comical, which I'm assuming given your profession you got, but just in case if not. Seriously though, you're a special person and I enjoy hanging out with you. Don't be a stranger.
Dude, no emergency, like no non-emergency or non-sexy texts after 10 p.m.
Right.
I mean, so I just wrote,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Can we just like make that a general rule society? Like no non-emergency, non-sexy 10 p.m. texts
exactly.
after 10 p.m.
It's not appropriate to be like texting. I mean, like, I think Todd and I at this point, we're my writing partner. Like at this point, we might text each other like a joke that we don't want to remember before we go into work.
Right.
But outside of that, no work, no like.
No, I send pictures like Pia Zadora or something to a friend of Jason. And it's like, okay, that's right?
So I wrote, whoa, I did not get that at all. I'm just waking up to this. I have to be honest. I don't get it. I see you like once a week. That's more than most people. He wrote, nothing to get. Don't trip. And I wrote, what if it is real? And then he said, last time we hung was weird, or at least I got a weird vibe, probably just me. And I said, no, it's like super weird that you'd send a straightforward paragraph about not having a romantic connection at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I think I challenged some things you were saying because I didn't agree with you. He said, I didn't realize the time, been working late and catching up on things at the end of the day.
Oh, that's such a bullshit
that's
thing.
That's such
oh,
bullshit. When you look at your phone, you can
it's
see.
It's like,
you have to unlock your phone. The time is right there.
I'm so tired. Yeah, exactly. I got to go to bed. But like, you know what? Before I hit it's 1:25. Before I hit the sheets, I got to dump Molly.
Yeah, I have to dump her. Because I wasn't even thinking about it, but clearly.
Oh, man, I've been so busy, but I just
got home from
a
long day. Like, another thing to check off the list. But if I do it today, then I won't have to do it tomorrow and get up early, start my errands. No.
I don't even know what time it is today because I know I'm so busy. So, you know, it's not.
He wrote, not expecting a reply. Sorry to surprise you. Like I said, it was meant to be lighthearted. Got a weird last time we hung out and it wasn't the challenges. Anyway, you're correct. It's too early for this. Didn't mean for it to come off as an ambush of emo. And I wrote, okay, that's fine. Not a problem. I'm not upset, but please show these two texts to literally anyone and ask them if they read them as lighthearted. To be honest, they're little confrontational and mean. I just don't want to deal with that. It's the last thing I need in my life. And he said, I'm telling you that's not the intent. That's why I sent the second text so you wouldn't read it that way. And he said, a text can be interpreted however you choose. And I said, that's why it's not an appropriate medium for this type of conversation. And he said, in no way was that meant to be confrontational. I said, that's confrontational by definition. And he said, my fault. I disagree with that. And then I said, I'm not interested in discussing a non-thing. Learn your lesson and don't text bomb another chick at 1:30 and 8:30 a.m. And he wrote, it's not hostile. Text bomb. I don't know why I'm engaging in this. It's just that I woke up and I was fucking raging.
Well, yeah, you wake up. That's how it grabs you. And also, that's kind of the underlying intent in a way, because he bookended, right?
Right.
Because he clearly was thinking about it all night. I don't know. I guess maybe he was so busy and he had the blackout shades happening and couldn't read the number at the top of his phone as he was typing. But he had to really make sure you read it, because I think he thought, oh, she gets up early. She must have seen this and hasn't written something back.
Right.
How dare she?
Right. No, so he's poking the bear. So ready? So he goes...
A writer bear, by the
Again,
way. I'd like
goes,
to say a writer bear.
A writer
who
bear.
Is as
who Donald, just has gay bear friends.
And also who is like, like Donald Trump says, good with words.
Right. Good, totally good with words. So he goes, it's a text. You can interpret it however. I'm not trying to argue. I think you're a great person. And I said, it's not a painting, dude. And he goes, actually, it kind of is. A text has no voice. And
Whoa.
I wrote, okay, I need to start my day. Have a good one.
I would just be like, never talk to me again.
Right.
Lose my number.
So then, right. Well, I right, did right. do this.
Yeah.
So just wait for this fucking shit storm that's about to come your way.
Oh, boy. Gird your loins, everybody.
Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the phones are ringing. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to answer that. So 8:44, I answer. I was in a massage. What's up? Truth. I was in a massage.
Good line, too, by the way, even if it wasn't.
Yeah. Was thinking about you and wanted to apologize. And I wrote, you hurled about a dozen tone-deaf insults at me first thing in the morning that seemed to be rooted in a conversation you and I never had. I am emotionally, physically, and mentally stressed right now, and your words slash actions prove you to be another thing that I have to worry about dealing with, and I don't need that. I'm saying I'm sorry that this is harsh, but that would be a lie. Everyone I showed your text to would probably suggest I don't even respond to this. Maybe in a year, but I don't think you shuck off that tone-deaf rudeness in a week. Also, suggesting I find friends who aren't gays is insulting and homophobic. And to be honest, it makes you sound like you're gay. I can't believe you thought my comedy prowess failed me when I didn't laugh at that. Get lost. And then I blocked him in my phone.
Ooh, that's good.
So where I'm going with this is that I think you should just block him.
Yeah, definitely. Stacey, you should block the guy. Stacey, also, there was a couple warning signs in the beginning of the story, which it's easy to feel like everything's really great when you're suddenly always hanging out with some person that you're attracted to or you're having sex with or whatever. But it's way too much too fast, and it doesn't speak to either the healthiness or the potential healthiness of a relationship. And it's also you get like kind of lost in each other's idea of each other.
Yeah.
Which is not really real. And then – which he almost seemed to know because he's like, well, you know what's going to happen? We'll have like an argument.
Because he's
so
done
bad.
This before.
Yeah. This seems to be his pattern.
It sounds like he met someone
Super
else, dated her,
Super
and then that fell apart. And then now he's coming back and like trying to poke up. Trust me, honey. When I was a player in my day, I had some back burner cuties. Always on the back burner. I'd like dip in there, make sure that it was still boiling. But like I had my main thing on the side. Like, and like that was like you were there only if everything else fell apart.
Right.
And I think that's
stir it a little
are.
Bit, make sure it doesn't stick.
Yeah. Here's my thing. Send a text here, there, massage it.
I don't know if I would like for Stacey to keep this guy in her like roster or whatever. I would just say
I'm saying I think that's what he's doing to her.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh no, she should block him and never speak to him again.
I think she should just send a text, be like, hey, I really enjoyed the 2 weeks we had together. You were really great, but I have enough friends. And then just block him.
Oh no, there's no friendship.
Thanks, man.
There's
I have
no,
enough friends.
Yeah, I have friends. I'm not really auditioning friends right now. That's a line I use a lot. But I want to throw this out there too. Sometimes it really helps to just like fucking rip his asshole so wide and deep that like you can't see him again. Cause like if you see him again, then you have to address the fact that you just eviscerated him.
Right.
So like you might want to sit down, throw a couple sentences together, like get creative. Like
throw maybe, a power move his way.
Yeah. Really colorful. Like really just, and then block him and then just be like, well, if I ever see him again, I literally told him like, I think he would rape a dog. So, like, I can't deal with that, Stacey. All right. I think we've helped you.
Yeah, definitely.
Just
take our advice. Stay away from him. And you shouldn't let people treat you like that.
Yeah. Okay, so last week's episode, Skirt Orgy, I was talking with our guest, Elijah Daniel, about a mutual friend of ours. Her internet name is Holler At Me, and so that's who we're referring to. And he says something like, oh, she's crazy. And, like, I think he was saying, like, she's wild. Like, she's funny or something. And then I interrupted him and was like, yeah, I think I know a guy she, like, that flew her out here. And what I was thinking was, like, they dated. And I realized after the fact, because he and I were, like, talking over each other and not finishing our sentences, I realized it because she pointed it out to me. She said, like, hey, girl, did you just call me, like, an escort and a crazy person? And I want to say that, no, that was not my intention, but I can see how that would feel like maybe that was my intention, because neither Elijah or I finished our sentences, clarified, and because, honestly, like, I was a little bit uncomfortable. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to say she was dating this person. I just started giggling. Probably should have cut the whole thing from the episode. Turns out they didn't date. Turns out I was given some bad info. A lot of misinterpretations. So there's a please advise in there somewhere for you. Probably like, you know, if you're going to be like trying to untangle a web of people you might know of mutuals, maybe don't leave it in the podcast. Maybe do it off air. But I just feel so bad. I know that you guys know I roast you from time to time. I literally would never purposely hurt your feelings. And I definitely would never want to damage any of your like reputations or your feelings or what people think about you or anything else. So I'm just really sorry to that person. She has a private Twitter account. So I was like, don't worry. I don't think Please Advise Nation's like thinking you're a hoe bag, but doesn't matter because if she thinks that I think that or thought that I thought that, or if anyone thinks that I thought that, that's enough reason for me to apologize. So just throwing that out there, girl, mad love. All you guys, mad love. All right.
Hey, Malls and Crew. So I am calling in regards to figuring out what the fuck I want to do with my life. A bit of background. I'm 20 years old. I'm Brazilian, and I go to NYU. I'm thinking I'm going to study German intellectual history because it's something that I find super interesting, but I feel like what I truly want to do with my life is to pursue a career in music because nothing makes me feel as emotionally fulfilled and as happy as playing and singing a song I've written and composed does. I've been writing and composing songs for a few years now. I play the guitar and I recently learned how to play the piano, and I think that I may be just scared to admit to myself that music is what I want to pursue because it's so hard to be successful in the field. And it's not really that I want to be famous. I just want to be able to, you know, like sing and express emotion through that art form. So I guess I have a couple of questions. One, am I any good? I'm sending a shitty phone recording of a part of one of my songs so you guys can tell me if I am, because if I'm not, I'd just like to know so I don't try to pursue this. And two, I guess, is how would I go about pursuing this? So, yeah. Thanks, Malls. I love the pod. Please advise.
I'm just kind of stunned. I want you to go.
Okay. So the Brazilian musician from NYU, I don't think he gave us his name. So that's how I'm referring to you, just so no one else that has sent in music might
get
confused.
I've emailed with him back and forth.
Oh, okay.
He's very nice. I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's like Matthias, I think.
Okay. So let's say Matthias. Let's say Maddie.
Maddie. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So, I got to
really sweet guy.
Maddie, you seem very earnest and very well-intentioned. Your singing style kind of makes me think of Peter Murphy from Bauhaus, but at the moment when Peter Murphy was arrested in a Subaru Outback in, I think, Glendale or some, I think, actually.
Always Glendale.
Yeah, with crystal meth on him, and he was been up for about 2 days. So that's the kind of vibe I'm getting. And it kind of sounds like, okay, I'm not going to be mean, but I don't think you should, if you want to pursue a career in music, I think you might need to work a little bit longer and harder at it, because I don't know what's more, what's harder. You said a career in music is hard. I don't know if it's harder to make money at German intellectual history or the music business.
I mean, I was going to say, I think pretty much anyone you ask German intellectual history or music is a bigger draw, most people would probably go with music. International language. But I think that a mentorship needs to happen.
That's a good point. I think that there's
something here that I think that whenever anyone's passionate, they can figure out a way to play the game. Yeah. And if anyone who's passionate can do that. Not everyone can be Adele.
Sure.
Or whomever.
Yeah.
Robin Thicke. Let's go with Robin. Not everyone can be Robin Thicke. Okay.
But although you could be like Robin Thicke and have someone else write your song
Ed Sheeran,
for you.
Yeah. If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Ed
He's
Sheeran.
Kind of an Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
But I think that was what you did was very difficult to do.
Exactly.
What you just did was probably the hardest part. Was like you exposed yourself to three giggling adult strangers.
Right.
And you know this is going to be on the internet.
Right.
And
you love the show. So
and you enjoy the show. So you know that maybe even people you know are listening to this. That's a big deal.
It is. And so congratulations.
Yeah, I don't
to
think
your
I
bravery.
Could do something like the key just did. Like, no. Props to him. And if you're really, really passionate about it, then you are going to be passionate about putting in more hours, putting in more work to get better.
And also, you said that you just recently learned piano, so I wasn't trying to shit on your piano skills, certainly. But
no.
It's just I think if you want to put a demo out in the world, it might need to be a little bit more elaborate. And yeah.
And I also think, like, live a little more. He is 20 years old, so, like, the lyrical content,
Heaven is not a place, it's a person.
Mm.
That line really hit me. It also made me realize, actually, that line in particular made me realize how young you are. just because that is, I think those are the types of thoughts that I had about romantic interests in my early 20s that I now, as an adult, I'm like, that is really unhealthy. But I think you need to grow a little bit. And also I always say this just generally, I've never been hesitant about like following my dreams. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand the hesitation and that's the only thing that concerns me.
Right.
Cause like most of the writers I know do feel like I could never do anything else. And it's like, of course, technically you could.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't be a homeless person if it wasn't for television writing. But most of the writers I know cannot imagine doing anything else. And so they didn't have a choice but to fully go for it.
Right.
And, you know, if German intellectual history is there for you, maybe you want to do some German intellectual music.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I don't necessarily, like, I can see, like, having a passion about something and being hesitant to do it. Because when you're giving when you have a lack of opportunity to do something, you don't necessarily think that you can.
I just have less faith in those people. Because
I'm one of those people.
I know. But, like, that's what I think, that's what has stood between you and doing what you really want to do. Is, like, you also are responsible. Person and I know that you like I don't think you would have ever done what I did to myself because I put myself through hell. Like I didn't have a bed. I was living in like a weird place like with no food, like fucking eating $2 tacos, like living off of Coca-Cola and cigarettes. Like I don't see that life for you, but that's what I did because I was like, well, if I don't do this to become like a writer who makes money for it, then I won't be a writer. And that's scarier to me than being very, very fucking uncomfortable.
Well, my thing is like, even with this podcast, I had that feeling about like, I didn't think that I could, but until I actually started doing it, then I realized that it was within the realm of possibility.
Right.
So like not everyone has that certainty that you feel or a lot of other people feel. I've heard actors express the same thing that you have expressed. Like they knew they wanted to do it from when they were young and they couldn't imagine doing anything else.
There has to be a certain, not almost delusion. Fantasy. There has to be a certain blind, I'm going to do this. Even when your demo is terrible.
Right.
Everyone's, by the way, if you thought I was being mean to you, everyone's demo is terrible when you start. Now we can record ourselves instantly. It used to be that a band would have to like work at it, and then record a demo. But if you found any artist that you liked, their early recordings are usually rubbish. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, up until very recently, like it's very difficult to get quality audio anywhere.
Yeah. I personally gave a horrible demo tape of my first recordings to Elvis Costello.
Oh my God.
Which I'm sure was thrown out of the window of his car later that night.
That's so cute. Thinking about a young Craig like running up to Elvis Costello. It was at a demo. Meet
and
greet,
and I was like, I'm going to give him my demo. And it was just like the worst. It's like the worst thing ever. No one else will hear it.
That's so funny. Oh my God. I do think, though, with a performance based thing, which I almost think of writing as like a performance based thing in a certain way. Acting, music, writing, it's those are like the arts. Like this is all, producing this podcast is something that you have to have an artistic edge for, but you also learn these skills. And like these are practical skills that you are able to learn and improve upon through knowledge, where I think with something like acting, it's so visceral that like it's not just about your the training you do after the fact. There needs to be a base there of just like a visceral need to do it.
Well, yeah, and I was also thinking about this interview that I heard with, well, not that I heard, it was on my show, but with Viola Davis, where mm-hmm. she was talking about how she, How to Get Away with Murder role, she didn't necessarily think that she could do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And she said there was like specifically because she's had a lack of opportunity of starring roles just because she's a black woman of a certain age. Mm-hmm. And so that lack of opportunity puts these thoughts in your brain that like, well, if I'm not given this opportunity to do it, then that means I can't do it.
Challenges are always really daunting. I mean, that's the truth, is like, that's what makes it a challenge.
But that makes the difference between the people who do live those artistic lives and those who just continue to dream about it and never do it.
I mean, I saw How to Be Single the other day, and that Rebel Wilson, what a treat. But there's kind of a metaphor in here. She needed to stop a taxi so that Leslie Mann, who was in labor, could get to the hospital to birth her baby.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert, she had the baby in the taxi.
The film is ruined for me now.
Sorry. But anyway,
damn it,
so
all these
Rumor
cinema
Willis,
classics.
Rumor Willis. Rebel Wilson had to get a cab. And what she did to get the cab was just throw her body on top of the hood of a moving New York yellow taxi. And I thought that's, and then she did it again because she needed another cab. And I thought that's kind of like, maybe that's a little bit of a metaphor. I'm thinking you should just go see How to Be Single and really pay attention to that scene where Rebel Wilson repeatedly jumps on the hoods of cars like a non-human because she's overweight. So like she doesn't get to act like a human in a movie. right. You should, that's the whole bit, right?
She vomits, she poops in public or whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
you're
overweight. So you have like sex with strange people, don't care about your body, don't care, like, are wit, like, have no, you're like
grace
obnoxiously or funny, but also the most unrefined person I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
Like,
cartoonishly terrifying.
Yeah. I just think you should go see that. I think that metaphor there will really do something for you. And that'll be the final thing.
Well, actually, I have one last note. Like, just keep doing it and keep working on music. And if you really want to pursue it as a career, that's a choice you make later. Just keep working on music. And you can always work on music, even if you do a day job in German intellectual history. I don't know what the listings are right now for that. But so keep at it.
You're a hot Brazilian in college. Like, you should be worried about blowjobs and where you're going to get more cocaine. Like,
exactly.
That's about it. That's all I'd be worried about if I was 20 years old. Also, I want to say, as soon as I heard Brazilian and music in the same sentence, do you know what I thought of?
No. Wow.
Classic Brazilian booty shaker, Popo Zhao by Kevin Federline.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Popo Zhao hit me pretty hard.
Popo Zhao.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, look it up on the internet. If you want to learn from the masters, Kevin Federline's always there.
Yeah, Brazilian booty shaker. I just remember that interview. It's a Brazilian booty shaker. It's called Popo Zhao.
I'm miming something right now that the listeners can't really enjoy, but you might in the studio.
Oh my Kevin God, it was so good. All right, you guys, next call.
Popo's out. Hey, Malls. Okay, I'm going to try to make this short, kind of a long story. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm not from here. I've called you before, and you probably remember, about music fest, my ex-boyfriend. Anyways, here I'm calling again. Since I've been living here, about 6 months ago, was out one night, saw this guy I knew from college. We got a beer together and chit-chatted, exchanged numbers. Hey, we should hang out, blah, 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 blah. Started kind of chatting, and he is moving abroad for 6 months. And so, at that time, it was going to be months until he moved. So I was like, oh, he's like, yeah, but, like, it wasn't, like, a romantic thing at all. So he ended up starting inviting me to parties with his friends, inviting me to brunch with his friends. And I started meeting his friends, great group of people. And now they've all become a lot of my good friends. Especially, like, there's two girls that are kind of, like, dating some of his friends that have become, like, two of my good girlfriends. So I just don't know a whole lot of people here yet. Still pretty new. I've only been here for about a year and a half. So I don't have a lot of deep relationships. So, and, like, him and I, like, we go out on the weekends with all of our friends. He'll come back drunk. We'll come back drunk. He'll sleep in the bed with me, but we would never hook up. We've probably made out, like, four times total, drunkenly make out, and that's it. We've never hooked up at all. And we've never even, like, talked about, like, any kind of emotions. We've had, like, deep conversations pretty much about anything else. Anyways, so one of my friends that dating one of his friends the other day was like, do you guys like each other? You know, do you like him, whatever? And I'm like, no, we're just friends, whatever. I was like, no, because I thought him and I were on the same page, but apparently he's kind of talked to her about how he likes me. Well, he's leaving in, like, 2 days now, and about a week ago I realized that I actually do like him. And I can kind of been able to tell now the past couple of weeks he's been a little distant with me. And I think, I don't know if it's, he's just super busy getting everything together or if he's kind of trying to avoid me a little bit. But now I'm like, shit, I actually like him. And he's going away. And I could have spent the past 6 months, like, realizing that and, you know, not kind of just broing out with him. So I guess now, like, what do I do? He's going to be gone for 6 months. And I'm 25, by the way. I don't know if I said that. What do I do? Like, I mean, I'm sure I'll get over it and it'll be fine, but now I just feel like an idiot for not realizing this sooner and not, I don't know. What should I do? Thanks.
Hey, Miss Memphis. Okay, first of all, can I just say that I love it so much that, like, I just remember this feeling. There's something about people going abroad. Like, around that college time, like, yeah. My college crush went abroad for 6 months. I actually, like, thought I would die, like, during those 6 months. I was, like, a whole semester without this man I'm in love with,
yeah,
who did not like me. So I just love how uniquely early 20s this is of you. Because I guess once you get older, people don't just go away for 6 months.
Yeah. And when they do, you're like, oh, they're away. They're on a job or something, and they're just away. And yeah, you're like, oh, I'll see them soon.
Unless it's that classic push-pull we were discussing earlier. Yes.
That's right.
Or whatever Big was on Sex and the City.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's I mean, I think it's kind of cool that he likes you.
Right.
And then that's kind of nice. I wonder if you only like him, someone that you were so decidedly not into because he maybe likes you.
Right.
But he probably can tell that you're starting a cave or that you maybe have the info and is freaking out because he is leaving town.
Yeah.
And so he's probably just like, dude, not now.
Not now. Because, like, I'm going to go over there and there's broads abroad and, you know, and but
hot Brazilian babes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he'll have a back burner babe in Britain or wherever.
Yeah.
So I also think that it's a good lesson here that you should act on those feelings, because later the person's going to go away. And if you are worried about putting a foot wrong, like, oh, what's going to happen? You're going to screw up the friendship.
Right.
You guys are in a bed together. You've kissed. So you could probably progress down the normal road or the traditional road of
right,
where that's going to go. And then what's the worst that could happen? You guys hook up for a while. Maybe you date. Maybe you don't. You know he's leaving anyway. So in the future, I mean, I wouldn't beat yourself up about it. These things happen. But just take a note from this that, like, the next time you have an inkling of attraction or something towards a person, just go with it.
I would say, though, in terms of her playing, like, the long con, the smart game here,
yeah,
don't put that stink in the air before he leaves town.
Oh, okay.
Because
sure,
then it's – there's that hanging weirdness and
yeah,
also anticipation no matter what when he comes back,
yeah,
about
yeah, yeah,
either having your feelings hurt or it just being out there,
yeah,
and, like, not getting to be fresh information that it's
sure,
like, been confirmed out loud. Maybe once he's gone, you won't feel that way about him. Maybe you'll meet someone amazing. Maybe he won't like you when he comes
that's
back.
True.
He
yeah,
could come back like a mature European man. European men. Do you know Catherine Chloe Cahoon?
No, I did not.
Oh, girl, I think, you know what? Actually, Memphis, I think you should just buy The Single Girl's Guide to Meeting European Men, and you should go meet a European man, like a guy from the Baltic Peninsula.
We need to get Catherine Chloe Cahoon on the show.
She agreed to come on, but I can't do it because I know that I'd be making fun of her, and I can't be that mean to someone's face.
Oh,
so she basically is this girl who's like, do you know Julia Allison? Okay, so she's like basically – she's a nugget of the internet that's, like, so good because it's so bad.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
She's in on the joke, but she's can't possibly be in on the joke because
exactly
it's
what you mean, yeah.
too good. Because yeah. if she was that good, she would be a millionaire. Like, she would be a very famous comedian. Yeah. Like, she'd be like Nathan Fielder shit, where it's sure. like, oh, you know your deal. Like,
I don't
think she fully knows her deal.
Right.
So I'm obsessed with her. And she wrote this book called A Single Girl's Guide to Meeting European Men. And she has a YouTube channel. I'm not even kidding you. You eat that weed macaroon when you get home.
Yeah, yeah.
You get into bed with Blythe. Yeah. You get some ginger ales or whatever it is, some unsweetened black iced tea.
Yeah.
And you have some lols. Because
oh, this sounds good. I'm looking
forward
to it.
Truly, honestly, the worst part about it is that eventually it's over. And like,
oh,
you're
yes.
like, oh, I just, she can't create this content fast enough. Like, come on, I need some more videos. Christina went away for a weekend. She introduced me to Catherine Chloe Cahoon, went away for 2 days. When she came back, I knew where Catherine had bought all of her accessories that she wore in the videos. So I like followed up with her haul videos. And then I went to like the local Nordstrom's Facebook page
uh-huh.
and like went all the way back and saw her in an event for like St. John's, like that clothing company for like slightly older women that she oddly works with for some reason.
Yeah.
It was like you were showing me the video and then pausing it every like couple seconds to give me like annotations.
Yeah. So
this is the kind of thing I'm into.
This is what I think you should do. I think you should get a hobby like this and so that
yeah.
it consumes all of your time and then you're not thinking about things like, does this guy from college that I maybe only like because he likes me hate me now? Or whatever
right.
it is that you're – whatever journey it is you're going on, I can tell that it's unconscious and like futile.
Yeah, and it's also – it seems to be eating away a lot of her time.
Yeah.
And how – real will it be when he comes back? Because I just realized they're out of college. They knew each other from
they're
college.
They're 23.
No,
yeah.
no, but because it
yeah.
sounded like going abroad, you know, it's
oh,
very
yeah.
like locked in college mode.
I assumed it was still kind of like a semester at sea
yeah,
post-grad.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
But if they're not in the same college together, what's the likelihood that they're actually going to see each other when he comes back? So yeah, I agree with Molly. Don't act
well,
on it at all now.
She's also dug her toe into his whole friend group.
That's another problem.
And so they're connected in a big way, which is like why I think she kind of needs to lean towards the not to fending off those feelings as much as she possibly can
right.
because she it, eventually it's just going to wind up with her not being friends with those people anymore because they're 23. She's not going to marry this guy. I actually really thought that where this was going was like she was had a crush on him and he didn't want to hook up with her.
Uh-huh.
I thought that's where it was
I thought it was
going
to turn out that he was gay. I honestly thought that that's where
oh,
the story
yeah.
was going. Just because a lot of times when you hear the story of,
yeah.
we were in bed a lot together.
Yeah.
We kissed a little bit, but it never went any further than
right.
that. Like not just one time in bed, drunk, but like multiple times. I always think, oh, is there like, there's something that he doesn't know yet or, you know.
That blows my mind because like the thought of kissing Ed in bed is like disgusting to me. Like I love him so much. It's not a personal thing to Ed. I'm sure he's a great kisser. I just don't want to kiss Ed in bed.
Sure.
I've never understood the like gay guys. I mean, are like the
straight
women,
girls. Like oh, like some girls
they
say,
make out with their.
She's like,
oh,
I make
friends.
Out with my gays for like sometimes at the bar when I'm drunk. I'm like, I don't. Oh, is that fun for you? Like
yeah,
what?
The,
why would it
yeah.
be fun for them? Either?
I know
I
it's
understand.
Like you get drunk and you want to make out with your gay friends. Like are you fun? Like what is that? Like is that? It's like a weird, like, collegiate, like, attention thing.
It's very attention-based. That's all it's about. I'm the special one. Oh, well, he doesn't like us, except me.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Oh, my God. I the one type of girl I have to say I truly hate is, like, the girl that's not chic enough to be a hag, yet she... Like every gay guy she meets, she's like, oh my God, I love you. Let's be best friends. And it's like, what do you think? Just because he's a gay guy and you have a vagina, like he's dying to tend to your needs? Like,
yeah.
what the hell? Like, Ed was at a wedding once and like all these like chicks were like, go girl. Like, I fucking love you, girl. And he would like call me from the bathroom and he's like, all these girls like are treating me like I'm a gay puppet. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
I was like, I hate that. And it made
That's
me
rude.
Very
yeah,
angry
it's very
for
rude.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, first of all, they wish.
Right.
Secondly, like, that's not his job to like
entertain
talk
you.
Like, to, like you know,
that's no gay man's job.
Plus, like, Ed is not like the kind of gay guy that's gonna be like, I love your tits, and like when they start assuming like, hey, touch my boobs or whatever, it's like, he doesn't want to do that.
Right.
That's not Ed. That's not even Ed to like feign interest in something like that.
Well, these girls who want to have their own real life Mario Cantone character in Sex and the City.
Exactly right.
This is our second exactly Sex and the right. City reference.
They want to treat a gay man like a handbag, and you just can't do that. It's just not right. It's not right, you guys. I mean, I'm so political now on this show. I keep delving into political issues.
Yeah. Thanks, okay. Dr. Laura.
Okay, so Craig, where can people find you on the internet?
Come check us out at Pump Podcast. You can just Google that, and that's the same handle for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And my own personal Twitter is VideodromeDisco at Gmail. No, sorry. That's my email. Videodrumdisco on Twitter. And I guess that about covers
let's,
it. Let's
give at Blythe Russo a shout out. Your partner. Yes, no,
exactly. So I feel really neglectful now. So my partner, lover, as Tom Hanks would say, Blythe Russo, you can find her at blythedesign.net and also on Twitter at Blythe Russo.
What does Blythe do for a living?
Blythe's a graphic designer.
Love. Oh, people might need that out there.
That's right. So yeah, if you're in the market for a graphic designer.
If you want a new website page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she does web some light web design as well. So come check that out. And I feel like I'm leaving something out. Oh, and at Mel, go find us at wearemel.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your new job. That's very exciting.
Yes, thank you.
We'll be looking for you.
Yes, thank you.
We do like to give our audience follow-ups on people. So if you have any exciting like career news, follow up with us.
Oh, terrific.
Well, put it out there. 323-450-7408. That's where you can reach us. We're on Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, fucking SoundCloud, Twitter, Periscope. We're going to get on Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat. Mal's official. Follow me. It's like where I put way too much information about my life. And I'm at Mal's on Twitter. You guys, soundcloud.com/pleaseadvise. Love you. Bye.